Our guest today is the Chief Executive Officer of the 100 Club of Chicago. The 100 Club of Chicago was founded 53 years ago. The 100 Club is a not-for-profit organization that supports the surviving defendants of law enforcement officers, firefighters, and emergency personnel who lose their lives in the line of duty. Since its inception, the 100 Club has served 268 families with over $11 million, of which half is devoted exclusively to, yes, $11 million, half is devoted to education. That deserves a round of applause. Currently, there are 30 dependents receiving assistance from this program. There are additional 64 children who will be eligible for assistance when they reach college age. And our speaker today is so smart that he has his daughter, Meredith, with us today. Give her a City Club welcome, Meredith. And his wife, Susan. Give her a City Club welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Ahern. Joe.
Hi, everybody. So, special thanks to Jay. Jay, thanks for inviting me back. And I think Jay has had the vision to create and foster this City Club, which has grown into be the premier public forum in Chicago. So thank you. We all owe you a great debt of thanks. Thank you very much. I don't know if Kenyatta is still here, but she... Kenyatta, you know, a little known fact about Kenyatta, she, when she arrests people on the street, she sings them their Miranda rights. It's actually a very pleasant experience. She sends them to jail, but they still, they really enjoy that. Thanks to Monsignor Velo. Ken, thank you so much. You know, Ken knows I pray every day for God's help in our mission. And I am so grateful to you for being on our board, because we could never find a better stamp of approval than Monsignor Ken Velo. Thank you, Ken. I also want to acknowledge all of our board members that are in the audience today. Jay named the number, but thank you all for being here. I see a lot of familiar faces, so I know that most of you understand what the 100 Club is all about. Jay mentioned that we provide educational and counseling assistance to the families of fallen first responders. Update, Jay, that it's now 271, in fact. And we have given over $11 million in benefits over the last 52 years. While the financial benefits that we provide are vitally important, it's the personal connections and the relationships with these families that is far more meaningful. It's actually at the heart and soul of what we do in making a difference, because that's what we're in the business of doing, is raising hope for the families who have lost their hero. So we get to see that hope every day in what we do. And I want to share with you this video, and you'll get a chance to see what it looks like.
May the angels protect you.
You know, maybe it's because I'm just getting older and more sentimental, but every time I hear that music in the video, that wrecks me. The girls and I watch it in the office, and I think we have to hand out Kleenex amongst ourselves when we see it. I think it captures the connection that we have with our families that is unmistakably real and emotional, and it's very, very powerful. You know, thinking back, we have actually had a lot of family memories, happy memories with our families. A couple that come to mind recently is watching Mickey Johnson. He graduated from the Chicago Fire Academy this past fall. Mickey's dad, Captain Herbie Johnson, he was actually bigger than life, but he tragically lost his life fighting a fire in November of 2012. Mickey and his brother Tommy went into the U.S. Marine Corps, and they served our country proudly for 4 years. Tommy is now a Chicago police officer, and Mickey is now proudly serving as a Chicago firefighter. And then there's Brian Flisk, who you saw in the video, son of police officer Mike Flisk. He was shot and killed the day after Thanksgiving, November 2010. That was actually the first check that I delivered. It's a day that I will never, ever forget. Brian graduated from Ambrose University. He graduated with a master's degree in criminal justice and is currently in the Chicago Police Academy. These are three young men who have decided to follow in their father's footsteps and live out their dreams in joining the ranks of two of the most noble professions in our world. The 100 Club ensures that all of our fallen heroes, dependents, will have the opportunity to make their dreams reality through our educational assistance program. This year marked a milestone for our program, as we currently have 30 scholars. They're all sons and daughters of police officers and firefighters who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. They're pursuing their dreams of higher education with the assistance of the 100 Club. And this is the largest number of scholars that the 100 Club has had enrolled since we started our educational assistance program way back in the 70s. And now we have 24 universities and colleges as part of our University Partners program. All the video footage that you just saw was of our annual Family Day at the Brookfield Zoo. And this past summer, we had our sixth Family Day. It's when we invite all of our families to come together for a day of remembrance and reflection. And there are members of honor guards and from all around Cook and Lake County who come out to stand at attention and salute our families. It's when we honor our fallen and we show the families that their heroes will never, ever be forgotten. In the last 12 months, we have had 7 line of duty deaths. Commander Paul Bauer, Firefighter Juan Busio, Officer Blair King, Officer Samuel Jimenez, Officer Conrad Gary, Officer Eduardo Marmaleo, and just 2 weeks ago, Illinois State Trooper Christopher Lambert. All these men had wives, loved ones, and 12 children between them. 4 days before this past Thanksgiving, the 100 Club staff, Caitlin and Taryn and Chelsea, who are here, we attend all the police graduation ceremonies, and we were there, and we're there with all the Chicago Police Department brass, Eddie and his command staff. And we're also there with the proud family members watching their sons and daughters, their husbands and wives commit to serving all of us. It is a great celebration. Probably more than 1,000 people attend. But later that afternoon, I was rushing to the University of Chicago Hospital, already knowing the outcome, following the tragic shooting at Mercy Hospital. And late that night, I found myself in a police motorcade on my way to the medical examiner's office to stand silently with hundreds of police officers in the falling snow to salute and pray for the soul of police officer Samuel Jimenez and the family that he left behind. 8 days before Christmas, we lost Officer Conrad Gary and Eduardo Marmaleo. And then just a couple weeks ago, Illinois State Trooper Christopher Lambert. Being there and being with his families, I have to tell you, it doesn't get any better. In fact, in so many ways, it is getting so much worse to be there with these families. The people who love them most now have to find a way to carry on after suffering a terrible, terrible loss. This past year was devastating for the city and for our first responder community. And while each of these losses was beyond tragic, what never ceases to amaze me is the resiliency of our first responders, and more specifically, the resiliency of their families. The suffering that these families go through is unimaginable. It's a lifetime. But the strength that they exhibit in this time of tragedy is inspiring. A lot of this strength is drawn from the overwhelming support that the family receives from our communities. Time and again, our city shows up in droves to honor our fallen heroes. Thousands of people, they line the streets to pay their respects to these first responders. And each procession that we witness is extraordinarily powerful. It's during these times that the 100 Club also receives an enormous outpouring of support. And we are grateful for all those who donate, who offer their thoughts, or simply tell a friend about our mission of assisting the families of our fallen heroes. But time and time again, as we see all the love and support for our first responders during these times of tragedy, it begs the question, why do we wait until we lose someone to show our gratitude for these heroes? Every day, these men and women leave their homes and their families, not knowing if they're going to return that night. They have chosen a profession that quite literally asks them to put their life on the line to protect people that they have never met, all of us. It takes true strength, dedication, and bravery to even join these noble professions, to take on a career where you must be selfless and love your community. The commitment of first responders also extends on to their families. They are just as equally dedicated as they share their loved one with our city. First responders sacrifice so much in order to protect our citizens. And we, as a community, should be showing our gratitude far more often than we currently do. With this in mind, the 100 Club is dedicating this year to showing our appreciation for our first responders. We're implementing initiatives that will spotlight the wonderful work of our police officers and our firefighters and our paramedics. Their tireless efforts deserve to be recognized and acknowledged by the people that they protect. Throughout this year, we will be hosting three important panel discussions featuring men and women leaders of law enforcement and fire service. Women in Law Enforcement panel will feature some of Chicagoland's top female law enforcement leaders in discussions centering around the female voice in the police profession. We will be highlighting women in fire service in a panel where female first responders will also discuss ways of recruiting and bringing more women into the fire service. And we will feature in a third panel technology advancements in law enforcement, which will discuss how law enforcement agencies are keeping up with the constantly changing sector and implementing new technology, including new advances in crime fighting and life-saving protocols. In addition to our panel series, we have already begun our social media campaign featuring first responder profiles. We have conducted interviews with numerous police officers and firefighters all across Cook and Lake County. And we'll be sharing the portions of those interviews every Tuesday on our social media channels, Facebook and Instagram. I don't have a clue how to do that, but thank God for Chelsea. We're at Chelsea's. God bless you. She's over there. She's been out doing these interviews, and they're awesome. These first responders have plenty of great stories behind their badges, and we just can't wait to share them with you. They're on right now every Tuesday, so please check them out for the remainder of the year. Finally, we're excited to be incorporating this theme into our annual Raising Hope Awards. And this year, the Raising Hope Awards will be held on Thursday, September 26th at the Ritz-Carlton. We're delighted to announce that we will be giving our Community Partner Award to the Chicago Police Department's Honor Guard. We are blessed to work so closely with the men and women of the Honor Guard, and we are thrilled to be able to honor them at this event. What you don't know, that these men and women bring comfort to our families in their time of need, and they are always there for us at the 100 Club. And we will be presenting our Lifetime Achievement Award to Tom Cashman. Tom has been just a long-time supporter of the 100 Club, former president, former chairman, and he comes from a long line of first responders and has been a dedicated supporter of the 100 Club for decades. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, we should hear from Tom. And I can't stress enough how important it is to show our gratitude to our first responders, the public, our political and community leaders, and the media. I hope you will join us in showing deep appreciation for their commitment all year long. Please join us in our efforts by thanking a police officer or a firefighter, especially in tomorrow and this week. Just think, we're going home. I'm worried about driving back to the house, and these guys are going out on the street. These men and women are going out on the street in what will be maybe the coldest day this city has ever seen, men and women. So I hope you'll, when you see a police officer or a firefighter on the street, you'll go up and thank them. And also that you'll follow us on social media pages to keep up with our events and again, watch those first responder profiles. And also, if you'll join the 100 Club as a member to continue supporting our mission. So a special thanks to all of you who are already here that support the 100 Club. And please keep supporting our first responders, because I got to tell you, thank you goes a very long way. I just stopped early. I got here a little early today, and I was down at Starbucks to get a coffee with Jack Garcia and Donnie Vincent, and two firefighters came in from Truck 6, and I went up and gave them a challenge coin and thanked them for their service. And I'll tell you, it's really important that they hear that every time you see them. Thank you very much.
You know, I should have asked, any questions? Get the questions up here, but I'm going to really...
what's your favorite color?
No. How can we help? But why don't you get the questions up here? And while you're getting the questions up here, I forgot to acknowledge someone who no one helps me more and helps the board more than this person I'm going to acknowledge. He served as president or chief of staff for Mayor Richard J. Daley for 8 years. Same capacity for Mayor Michael Blandick, chief of staff. Then he went to the Board of Trade for 23, 18 as president, Tom Donovan. Let's give him a round of applause. All right, any questions? Because I was going to ask Eddie Johnson to come up and do the questions. So, and because I want a picture of Joe and Eddie for the media. So any questions? Because I'm going to ask the superintendent to come on up here. All right, Eddie, why don't you come on up? Come on up, superintendent, because I'm going to ask the question.
Oh, you know, we missed Fire Commissioner Ford. Did you mention Fire Commissioner?
No, Ford? You should do it. Go right ahead. Acknowledge.
Fire Commissioner Rich Ford. Rich, come on up here. You should be up here, too. Come on up here.
All right. So if you have any questions, normally we write them up. Raise your hand, introduce yourself, and you got in here. Ask any of these guys any questions you want. But my first question is to each of you.
Thanks, Rich.
Each of you, how can we, you're talking to a lot of people on that live stream, too, how can we be helpful? One, two, three. Fire. And then, Eddie, you take it from there with any questions.
Hopefully I expressed that in my remarks, but the more you see, whenever you see a police officer, firefighter, or paramedic, stop and thank them for their service. I wouldn't suggest you hug them, because they may get the wrong intention. But make sure that you thank them and let them know how important it is. I usually tell people that there's probably not a single person in this room who has not benefited from the selfless service of a police officer or a firefighter or a paramedic. And if it wasn't you, it was your grandmother, your grandfather, or someone that you loved that was close to you. And when you call 911, just think if they weren't there. So they are really, you know, thank God for them. And Ken, thank you for the blessing on our police officers and firefighters. And pray for them every single day, which I do.
Thanks. So I would tell you all this. In full disclosure, one of the reasons when the mayor approached me about taking the position as superintendent, one of the reasons that made me a little reluctant or gave me pause was because I had lost a lot of friends in my 30-year career. And so the thought of having to deal with losing someone under your watch is difficult. But I will say this. Having to respond to those incidents and being back than having to tell a spouse that their loved one has passed away. It gives me great comfort when I look over my shoulder and Joe is always there. He's always there. You all have no idea of what a hug or a thank you does for these police officers and firefighters and paramedics that are out there. They really trust me. They really appreciate it when you say thank you to them, because that gives them the sense that we're not in it alone. So if you all want to help, do that, and also become members of the 100 Club, donate to the 100 Club, because I have to tell you all, you know, at the onset of any of these incidents, and I can tell you unequivocally, these people are devastated. And one of the things that they will inevitably say to me after things have kind of settled a little bit, they start worrying about finances. They do. And, you know, because that's real life. So if you all can do two things, like I said, donate, and when you see first responders out there, just tell them thank you. Thank you all.
Well, good afternoon. I have to say, Eddie, you said it really eloquently. When we have a line of duty death, one of the first faces we see is Joe, and we realize the 100 Club is there for us. I was fortunate enough to become the fire commissioner last year, working with our former fire commissioner, Jose Santiago. One of the things that I actually was able to make was one of the 100 Club events where they talked about the kids that they pick up, unfortunately, when we learn have a line of duty death, and how they follow the kids through and made sure that their college is all taken care of, and how those kids give back. They join the 100 Club. So the best thing I could say is please join the 100 Club, assist how you can. Tell a fireman or a paramedic, thank you. Don't hug them. Tell them thank you. And I truly thank you all for everything you do. Joe, you're the best.
Are there any questions? All right, you got a line up here. All right. State your name and ask your question and then repeat it for the audience, if you would, Eddie, and then you, and then you.
Thank you. Charlie Gardner.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Joe. And where do you hold these panels, and can we attend?
Thank God for Chelsea and Taryn and Caitlin.
Could you repeat the question for the video?
Oh, yeah.
Not all the dates have been established yet. The first panel is the Women in Law Enforcement panel. It'll be held on March 19th at 6 o'clock at Stratford on the Park.
Where's Stratford on the Park?
It is in Lincoln Park. It is right off of Fullerton, right on the park.
Thank you. I'll be there. And the question was, where are these panels going to be held? So the first one's Stratford on the Park in March?
Yes, and the other dates will be established within the next month, so please look back on the 100 Club's website.
I also might add Larry Wirt, who is the president of the Tribune television stations, who is here, and a board member of the 100 Club. They're sponsoring one of our panels. So thank you, Larry, for all you do. Thank you so much.
Rob, go ahead.
You had mentioned that, Joe, you had given a challenge coin to the firemen. What is a challenge coin?
Well, a challenge coin is a... I'll show you. I think I should have one right here. There's this wonderful coins that shows your respect, appreciation, and thanks for your friendship and your support. And I think if you Google it, and I may screw this up, but I think it started in the military back in the Second World War with an Air Force pilot who was captured, had no form of identification, but escaped from a prison place and was captured by people. They were going to assassinate him. He explained to him that explained to them that he was a U.S. Air Force pilot, and he had a coin on a necklace, and that took a life of its own. And so, in the military, generals and various different military service areas have them, and they present them to people as a form of thank you. And so when I came to Chicago back in 02, and then when I came to the 100 Club, the Honor Guard gave me an Honor Guard challenge coin. And I said, one of the first things I did with the gals in the office is that I said we had to really design a challenge coin that we could give to people. And this was designed with it's a combination of the police and fire badge. And I'll tell you, it's really a wonderful way to strike up a conversation. All of our board members wear our 100 Club pin on our and usually people stop me, they think I'm in the Secret Service or some damn thing. But it starts a great conversation about what do you do. And telling them about the 100 Club, giving them a challenge coin is really a great way to, you know, tell our story. Thanks for asking.
Any other questions? Jill, stand up.
Thank you. I'm just wondering if
what is your name?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jill Swick. And my question is whether there's been much of an effect on people's attitudes by the Dick Wolf shows that are done here now, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Men. Have you noticed any change in people's attitudes?
I'll tell you the question is with all the shows, Dick Wolf Productions on NBC, Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Chicago PD, is has it changed people's attitudes? But I think you know, the 100 Club has been featured on that show a couple times, and I also have to tell you that the Chicago Fire was the first show that started on NBC, and all those actors have really been unbelievably supportive of the 100 Club. Several of them have given us $20,000 a year. On their birthdays, and to just thank the 100 Club. Chicago and our fire and police communities have really touched their lives. And they try to show that in giving back and supporting the 100 Club. So it really has been a great blessing to us.
Anyone want to add anything?
You were doing great.
I know, right? I feel like I'm being set up. I know, right? As far as the attitudes go, you know, those shows have really been good partners with us and very respectful of things that we have to deal with in the city of Chicago. But in terms of CPD, you know, we live that stuff for real. So we really don't pay too much attention to the actual show. But the shows themselves have been very, very good partners with us.
Well, I can let this out now because my commissioner can't holler at me. Chicago Fire, when it first started, we had a little bit of a problem. One of our guys is actually a technical advisor. And I think as I was having a heated conversation with him, it was described that there's a difference in between TV and reality. And they take certain liberties when they're writing stuff. So we came to a united front, followed by, I think, 2 weeks later. Was it 2 weeks after that? I stopped on the scene because the show is shot throughout Chicago. There's no one set place. Now, the problem we often have is safety, and I'm really big on safety. So as we have these guys that are playing firemen, standing in the street, I had to pull a Huey, and I hollered at one of your guys. I motivated a police officer because he's supposed to be watching out for these guys who are playing firemen with people who are really driving down the street, not paying attention, and they almost were hit a couple of times. So I kind of negatively reinforce safety with the guys, oh, we didn't know. I said, you will get hit for real. Hit by a car is a bad thing. Get on that side, stay out the street. And we've really had a good time since then. Often, the guys, I've gotten calls, boss, we're going to do this. You're going to come holler at us? I said, well, that was not the intent. The intent is everybody's safe. We want you to be safe. We want the show to continue on. But for the most part, we've had a good relationship with Chicago Fire.
I just want to add one thing to that in saying, as a recovering television executive who spent 40 years in TV, they're the real deal. And no disrespect to any of my former colleagues in television. I'm grateful to our television stations and radio stations that support our 100 Club, and which many do. But this is the real deal, and they really put their life on the line, not like the actors.
Hi, I'm Mike Houlihan. Much respect to all you guys. One of the things I read recently was a very tragic statistic that Chicago has a 60% rate higher than any other city for police suicides. And it seems like lately there is an anti-cop culture that gets fostered somehow. Why is that?
Well, I think I'll deal with the second part first. The anti-police narrative, I think, started a few years ago when some bad-looking videos got out. And I think that help fuel that. And then social media, you know, they latch on to something and phew, there it goes. You know, but I can tell you this, that narrative is starting to shift now. So that's a blessing. And what was the first part of your question?
Suicides.
So in talking to our head clinician, the numbers that we're 60% above the national average is not correct. But having said that, I will say this to you all. We lost 4 police officers last year within a 5-month period of time to suicide, and then one other one killed himself New Year's Day. This job, these jobs are stressful. So consider this for a moment. Police officers and firefighters, we're people too. So we have those pressures and stresses at home that everybody has, right? Then we come to work and you pile on the stressors of other people's problems. So we have double what most people have. So I think it's just a matter of us doing a better job of normalizing police officers looking for help. Because when I came on the job, it was frowned upon, quite frankly, to go ask for help. Well, we've normalized that now. And in addition to that, what we're doing, we're doubling the size of our clinicians this year. So by the spring, we should have double what we currently have. Thank you all. So in addition to that, we're going to assign all of those clinicians to units across the city. And what they're going to do, they don't know this yet. But what they're going to do, we're going to assign them to every unit, and they're going to have to do field visits daily so that the police officers can get to know them and see them and talk to them before they have problems. That way it'll normalize them talking to these individuals, because these are macho professions. You know, so it used to be looked at as weakness to go look for help, but that's actually courage. You have to be courageous to know when you need help and go out there and seek it. So we are now in the process of normalizing police officers being able to seek the assistance that they need.
Amen. Don't
be shy.
Joe, how many members are in the 100 Club?
1,800?
We have about 1,000
right now.
For
1,800.
How do we join?
And so go to 100clubchicago.org.
Oh, well, you can talk to me. But also, we have membership applications out front. We're going to be passing out envelopes that you can grab that have that and some more information.
And just think, we got about 5 million people in a 75-mile radius of this great city. And so we should have 50,000. Donnie Vincent's back there waving, and Jay, and they've preached this many, many times, that there should be tens of thousands of people who are supporting the 100 Club and giving back to our police officers and firefighters and their families. Thank you all for being here.